Well, I invite you to take a look up at the screen with me as we continue our wartime series. We will read our passage from Revelation that we've been reading together every week. So would you read this aloud with me? "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death.'" Amen. Well, I invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word, to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. Last week we looked at 2 Peter, a passage there. Today we're going to look at a passage in 1 Peter. So still close to the end of your New Testament there, 1 Peter. It's only 5 chapters long, and we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4 today, looking at verses 7 through 11. So 1 Peter chapter 4. As you're turning there, you know, at the beginning of this series, I had told you that we were going to be doing this wartime series for 6 weeks, and I had encouraged you to read through the book of Ephesians at least once throughout this 6 weeks. So don't worry, if you haven't done it yet, you still have a week left, and the book of Ephesians only takes a little over half an hour to read through, so you still have a lot of time to get that done, but I hope that you've done that. Many of you have shared with me that you've done that, and you shared with me little nuggets that maybe you hadn't seen before, and you've sent those in email and Facebook, or you've told me in person. Thank you for that. That's so encouraging to me, and I'm just thankful that you all have done that. As we've been looking, as you have been looking through Ephesians, I asked you to look for what does Ephesians say about what God has done for you and the power at your disposal through the gospel. And so that's what we've been doing through our series. And we've got today and next week we'll complete this series, this idea of having a wartime mindset. And you know, this past week on Tuesday, we remembered September 11th, where we remembered the horrific day we experienced as a country 17 years ago. And all of us who are old enough to remember that day remember probably where we were at and what we were doing when we heard the news. And as I was thinking about it this week, I was remembering September 12th. And how September 12th felt so strange because I knew the world had changed. And this huge thing had happened, but I was a high school student at the time. And so I was feeling like, what do I do now? Like, certainly things are different, but what do I do now? But the answer to that question ended up, well, I need to get up and put on my clothes and go do the best I can in school. That was the answer. That was the best thing that I could do. It felt very small given what was going on around the world, but it was where God had me in the moment. And you know, I think sometimes when we think about spiritual things and we think about God and his gospel and we think about spiritual warfare, how we're supposed to be pushing back the darkness and bringing the light of the gospel and how people are slaves in their sin and they need to become free from the gospel, it feels like this big, huge thing. And when we have big, huge things in our life, we either respond one of two ways, depending on our personalities, usually. Some of us, we go all in, right? We sign up for everything. We go full force. We commit, right? But then usually when that happens, somewhere along the line, we find ourselves burned out, or we find ourselves not being able to hold up to all those ministry commitments that we had committed to. Yet there's other of us that we don't struggle with that at all. We hear this big, challenging kind of thing, and we just freeze. I'm more like this myself. If I'm one of the two, I'm more like this. I just hear this big, huge thing, and it just makes me paralyzed. And I mean, think about it. Back in the day, the church would see the needs of their own community and the needs around them that they thought they could get involved with. But nowadays, we don't just get pummeled with just the needs in our own community. We know about needs around the world because of news media, and that can be really good to know about things around the world that we as the church can be involved in. But sometimes it can just get to feeling so big that you just become paralyzed and you kind of feel like, well, what's my part in all this? Is there anything I could even do that could even make a difference? And that's what I want us to think about a little bit today, because there, God actually gives us a third way. Not the way that just says, okay, I'm just going to jump in and say yes to everything until I'm burned out and I'm flat on my face and I can't do anymore. And we don't have to be the person that just feels so paralyzed by the huge immensity of the need that we just do nothing. God gives us a third way through his gospel. Because you see, when God saves us through the gospel of Jesus Christ, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he enlists us and he equips us with a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. And those gifts that God gives you allows you to know what it is he wants you to do and what it is that he doesn't necessarily want you to do. You know, when you answer generally, what does God want me to do? How does he want me to be involved in the midst of this? Well, there's some answers that we could all give, right? He wants us all to follow Jesus. He wants us all to share Jesus with others. We're all called to be engaged in Christ's body, the church, somehow. But then what God does is he gives you, something more specific that he might not have given that person sitting next to you. He gives you a gift of the Spirit in order to use to be a part of God's body and a part of his mission in the world. So we're going to see this in 1 Peter 4, and then we're going to look at some other passages together, and we'll look at it up on the screen. And what I want you to see today, if I were to summarize it all, what I want you to see today is that in the midst of the mission of God, building his church and getting the gospel to all people, every follower of Jesus has been enlisted and equipped with a gift to be an active participant in his mission. Every one of us has been given something to be an active participant in God's mission. So let's read 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. Peter writes, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Verse 11, "Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The first thing I want you to see today is that you are equipped. You, if you are a believer in Jesus, are equipped with gifts in order to serve God's church. You are equipped with gifts in order to serve God's church. Peter starts with this huge, earth-shaking, overwhelming kind of statement, "The end of all things is at hand." And what Peter is talking about is the history of mankind. You see, the Bible shows us that at the very beginning, we were created for God. We were created to know God, to love God, to find our sense of identity and satisfaction in God. But in Genesis chapter 3, we see that man sinned. Man and woman decided, instead of living their life in full joy of God, they decided they wanted to be their own God. They wanted to know good and evil for themselves. And so they sinned and they disobeyed the one command God told them not to do. And because of that sin, we all now live and are born with this sinful nature that we get from our first parents, Adam and Eve. And because of that sinful nature, we all have this desire to live for ourselves and to place ourselves as God and our satisfaction and our needs and what we want over what God wants. Yet God didn't leave us in that state. Our sin separated us from God. It made us spiritually dead. Meaning, since we're separated from our very life source, there's nothing good, there's nothing that we were created for that we can do within ourselves. But God didn't leave us there. He sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and he lived the life that we were meant to live, fully pleasing to God, loving God and obeying him in all ways. And then he loved us so much, he went all the way to the cross. And Jesus died on the cross, not because of anything that he had ever done, but he died for us. He took our sin, he took my sin, he took your sin. And he was punished on the cross for your sin in your place, so that you may be reconciled to God, so that you may be forgiven and loved and brought back into God's family. And 3 days later, Jesus rose again. And he showed in his resurrection that he had defeated all of our sin and all of our death, and then he went back to heaven. But you see, that's not the end of the story, because we're all still here. But what Peter is saying, the end is near, because there's only one more step in this process of salvation, and that's when Jesus comes again. And when Jesus comes again, he's going to come and he is going to rescue his victorious church off this earth. And he is going to judge and punish all those who did not put their faith in Jesus, because they'll be punished for their sin apart from Jesus. And so when Peter says the end is near, what he means is there's only one more step in this redemption story, in this redemption process. And God did not just save you to wait for the day that you go to heaven. He saved you and gave you his Holy Spirit to be a part of his mission now, so that other people can know Jesus. And this walk, like we talked about last week, it doesn't all just happen in a day. We grow over the course of our lives as we pursue one another in community, as we stay in the Word, as we pray. And in the light of this huge and monumental news, some of us either jump in head first and we just want to do everything, and others of us just feel paralyzed, like, how do I fit into all this? Yet Peter tells us, and he doesn't say, sign up for every single ministry, or try to do everything, or start this worldwide evangelism quest. No, what he tells us is actually very practical. As I was thinking, this is going to be the most practical sermon I think I've ever preached since I've been here. Because Peter says things like, what do you do in the midst of all this, in the midst of the time being near? What you do is you pray. You pray. You keep loving one another earnestly. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You keep receiving one another and showing hospitality to one another, understanding that we all have different strengths and weaknesses. And so it's hard, but we're all looking to the same Jesus. And then the last one that we're focused on today is be a good steward of the gifts God has given you to glorify him and serve his church. You know, there's this new song out on Christian radio. You've probably heard it. It's called Dream Small. Dream Small. And it reminds us all that in the midst of such a great and massive mission, God calls us to trust him and just display faithfulness in the things he's called you to. You be faithful in the ways he's gifted you, and the things that he puts before you. Pray, love, embrace others, and practice your spiritual gift. Because I love this quote from my college professor, I'll never forget it. You cannot change the world until you change yourself. You can't change the world until you change yourself, meaning the best thing you can do is be faithful with who God has made you and what he's gifted you to do. So if that means that God impresses on your heart to go be a missionary in China, and he gives you the way and he opens the door, that's what you should do. You should pick up and uproot your life and go and share Jesus in China. But that's not going to be all of us. For some of us, God's going to tell us, serve kids in the nursery once a month at that church in Livingston, Louisiana. And that's what we say yes to, and we give ourselves to, and we're faithful to. You've been equipped by God with a gift or gifts to glorify him and to serve his mission through the church. So the question becomes, well, what are these gifts? What do these gifts look like? Well, point number two, God gives many different gifts to many different Christians. God gives many different gifts to many different Christians. Romans 12, 4 through 8 shows us this. Paul writes, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." So you see, in every local church, every group of believers, God gives all these different gifts to all these different believers in order for the whole church to function as he desires it to function. And only we together, as we all use our gift to serve God's church, do we move forward in God's mission together. I mean, think about, this is one way the New Testament talks about it. Think about a physical body. Think about your physical body and all the parts that have to function correctly each and every day for you to be able to survive. The lungs must breathe, the heart must pump, the brain must think and send signals, the extremities must move and stretch and grab and balance. You know, my poor wife, just last Sunday, she broke her little toe, her little pinky toe. And so we've all been experiencing this week what one little 1-inch part of the body can do. If it's not functioning correctly, it can slow down everything else. And that's the kind of idea with a spiritual body as well, is that we are created to get and brought together in order to function together. And it's only when we're all stewarding and using our unique gifts in order to serve God's mission through God's church do we fully function the way God intends us to. Now, there's many ways to talk about all the different gifts, so I want to do the easiest way I know how, because my high school math teacher always said simple things are best, and I love that, and I stick to that. So looking at Peter and what he said in chapter 4, he said, "Be good stewards of God's various grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies." So according to Peter, all the different kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit come down to two things. They lead us to speak the things that God wants his church to speak to one another in order to encourage one another and admonish one another and correct one another and lead people on, and he leads some to teach and preach. So there's that speaking element, and then all the other gifts are this doing element, this serving element, this practical element. Putting the feet to the ground and getting things done. Things like administration and order. Things like hospitality and things like service to others and mercy and all those different kinds of things. We're all equipped with different gifts in order to say the things that we are meant to say and accomplish the mission that we are given to do. So God gives us all these different gifts to all different kinds of Christians. Then number 3, and this is a really important one. God wants you to know your gift. God wants you to know your gift. You know, sometimes we talk about spiritual gifts like it's this thing that God's hiding from us. And somehow I have to grow to some spiritual place that I'm not at yet in order for him to reveal to me what my spiritual gift is. But that's just not true. You know, since we've been married, Rob and I have been married 10 years now, and in that time, I've only bought her one real piece of jewelry, a real diamond necklace, right? And when, I don't know, we were three or four years in, and I bought this diamond necklace, and I bought it way too early for our anniversary, right? Our anniversary was still like a month and a half away, and I just could not wait. So I kept just mentioning to her, "Hey, I got you a gift." And I kept kind of seeing, like, I was trying to figure out, would she be okay if I gave it to her without waiting? Because I just couldn't wait to give her that gift. That's how we feel when we've sacrificed and given something in order to give someone a gift. We just want them to receive it. And so think about that with God and your gift. If God gave you his son, that you may have His Holy Spirit and have a gift to serve the church. God wants you to know about it. Paul writes in Colossians that we have not ceased to pray for you, speaking to a church, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says, we're praying that you know the will of God clearly and how He is asking you individually to walk and to please Him. And it might not be the same as your neighbor sitting beside you, but He wants you to know your gift. God wants you to know what He's gifted you with. So the question is, well, how do I know my gift? How do I learn what God has gifted me to do? Well, if God's not hiding it from us, then it must be a little more plain than we usually realize. And so I read a great article this week that asked some questions, and I thought these were just really helpful questions, so I wanted to share with you questions to just start thinking about this idea of what God has gifted you. If you're a believer and a follower of Jesus, what has God gifted you with? What spiritual gift has He given you to serve the church and to fulfill His mission? Well, the first question, as you study how gifts operate in the body, in the Bible, do any resonate with your soul? As you study different gifts in the Bible, do any resonate with your soul? Do you read of Peter preaching in Acts 2 and your heart just comes alive and you say, I want to do that. I want to preach God's word in front of people like that. Or do you read about Jason in Acts, where he brings in the apostles and he's very hospitable to them while they go about doing the work of missions in that area. And you think, and you listen to that and you like think, well, I love to cook. I love having people in my home. I can be hospitable. I can be hospitable and keep an eye out for visitors in my church and make them feel welcome. And maybe that's what my gift is. Or maybe you read about someone selling a lot of their property so that they can give to the poor and give more to the church, and that just resonates with you, and you think, yeah, I could see myself doing that. Giving kind of in a radical, generous kind of way. Maybe giving is one of my spiritual gifts. So that's the first one, is what just resonates with you as you read about people doing things in the scripture. Number two, I love this one. What do you enjoy doing? What do you just enjoy doing? Because, you know, God is not this. I used to think this way. I used to think, in my mind, the greatest Christians went to the mission field. So even though I didn't see gifts within myself of like being an entrepreneur and going to another place, I just thought, well, if I'm willing, I need to go to the mission field. And I didn't think about how God had gifted me or anything like that. I just went for it. And I was miserable. And I was miserable because it was a good thing that I was doing, but it wasn't what God had trained and put into me to do. And I did it based off of a guilt and just a feeling of expectation from others and not because of my gifting. What do you enjoy doing? You know, from a young kid, I would practice public speaking in my room. So I should have thought about that and thought, well, maybe God wants me to do something with that public speaking desire, right? So what do you just enjoy doing? God wants to repurpose whatever you enjoy for His purpose and for His glory. And then number three, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? When you see different needs and different ways that you can be a part of God's mission through the church, which one do you just feel passionate about? Number four, what ministry in my life is God blessing? I love that one. You don't figure out your gifts by sitting on the sidelines and just asking God, show me my gift, show me my gift, show me my gift. I'll do something if you just show me my gift. No, that's not how it works. What you do is you get involved. You serve. And as you serve in different ways and try teaching, ask your Sunday school teacher, man, I'd love to try that one time. Be a part of the greeting team and start meeting new people in the church and see, just work it out. You work it out and you see, what do you enjoy? What do you love? What is God blessing? And then that kind of allows you to focus in, right? So that when I get up here and give you announcements, you don't feel like, oh, there's another thing I need to do. No, if you hear it and you say, yeah, that really resonates with who I am, I feel gifted for that, you step up. And if you don't, you say, no, but I'm serving over here, and that's okay. That's okay, because we all have different gifts. So the last one, what gifts do others see operating in me? What gifts do others see operating in me? Because God uses other people in the church in order to show us what our gifts are. Because I knew that I loved preaching when I went to seminary, but I had no idea if anyone loved listening to me, right? You know, people want to be nice, and so you can get up there and preach, and they're, hey, great job, you know, but you need real feedback. It was when people really, when I started having the opportunity to preach and got people from the church pull me aside and say, listen, I think you're moving in the right direction. I can see God using you in this way. That allowed me, that gave me some confirmation to say, like, yeah, I'm running in my lane here. I think this is what God has for me. And listen, sometimes you might feel that God's called you to be part of the AV team, but you need to be open enough to let someone speak into your life, say, listen, you don't even know how to turn on your computer at home. I love that you want to do something, but maybe think about a different direction, right? We can do that for one another. And so letting others in the church speak into what they see our gifts being, because sometimes people come to me and they say, listen, I kind of feel passionate about this, and it's so easy for me to say, man, I think that has your name all over it. You should run with it, right? And other times it's like, that sounds great. I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but stick with it. Let's pursue that. You know, we'll figure it out. So for the rest of our time today, I want to share some very practical principles regarding this idea of service and our gifts and apply those principles to our church. So number four, not every need has your name on it, but as a follower of Jesus, at least one does. Not every need has your name on it. That's very freeing. But as a follower of Jesus, at least one does. I mean, I used to cringe at announcement time because I knew the pastor was going to mention another need in the church that good Christians should do, whether it be serving with kids or being a greeter or being on the AV team, and I would feel guilty and think, well, I've got to do that too because I want to be a good Christian. No, you don't. Well, you may want to be a good Christian, but no, you don't have to say yes to everything. God has given different gifts to different people in the church in order for all the needs to be met. Yet you personally do not have to meet every need, and you do not have to feel guilty that you're not meeting a certain need that you are not necessarily gifted in. Yet on the other hand, if you are a follower of Jesus, at least one need does have your name on it. The New Testament does not have a category for a follower of Jesus who is ministered to by the church, yet does not serve and minister to the church in some way with the gifts they've been given. No, every part of the body must be working properly for the church to be all that God has designed it to be. So there is at least one service need that has your name on it. Principle number five. To whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. You know, I've never been at a church that did not want to reach more people. And I've never seen a church that did not want to see more people saved, did not want people growing in Christ Jesus. But listen, with the blessing of a fruitful ministry comes the responsibility to shepherd and serve and disciple those people. So honestly, my heart rejoices that we had 170 people in Sunday school last week and over 230 people in this building during service last week. But I'll be honest, it also leads me to drop down to my knees and beg God to raise up more faithful laborers for this work. Because if God blesses us in reaching people, we're going to need more Sunday school classes, which means more leaders and more teachers. We're going to need more volunteers and greeters and seaters and ushers and deacons and children's ministry workers and cooks and administrators, and the list could go on. We're going to need volunteers who are committed and willing. You know, Robin and I, when we were in North Carolina, we were blessed to be a part of a church that by God's grace, we were seeing people coming to Christ. We were seeing them grow in groups and in community. We were even seeing people sent out to plant new churches and to go around the world to share the gospel. And because of that growth, we as a church had to go to multiple services. And so our church, just to put out this mindset to everyone, every member of the church, listen, you got to come to one and you got to serve at one. So they just built into us that Sunday morning is for church, and it's to be ministered to, and it's to minister to others. So during that time, I was a full-time grad student. We were having our first two babies. I did prison ministry on Sunday evenings. I had a full-time job. But we did. We believed in this so much that Robin and I set aside that we were going to be there for 3.5 hours on Sunday morning, and we were going to go to the early service because the early service is the one that less visitors attended, so we didn't take up their seat. And then we did the four-year-olds in the second service, and both the services were 1.5 hours each. And so we worked 40 hours. I was a grad student, did prison ministry, but we gave in that way. We served in that way because to whom much is given, much is required. We were experiencing a movement of God in that church, that we were going to lose the chance to see all those people grow and become really strong in their faith if we didn't step up and take care of their kids so that they could come to the services. And so that we didn't disciple them so they didn't just know the gospel, but they knew how to walk with Jesus day in and day out. And listen, I struggle to share an example like that because I'm not seeking for you to pat me on the back. But as your pastor, I am supposed to be an example. And now I get paid full time to do what I do. So I felt it might be helpful for you to know that I've been there and I get it. I know that you have a lot of responsibilities. I know that you have a lot on you. And I hope you hear my heart. I am not interested in making people more busy. I've been down that road. I've burned out on that road. God's put me flat on my back where I could do nothing. And so that's not my aim or my purpose today. I get it. I know that you have responsibilities, that you need rest and days off, that you need family time. But listen, I'm just convinced that even in our busyness and responsibilities, we still find time for what we value most. I know some really busy people who have still binged a whole season on Netflix because they wanted to, right? And we end up finding time for what we want. I know, I've done it. And the people who are currently serving and using their gifts in the church and their community, they have other responsibilities too. So honestly, here's what I believe. Where we are right now, we're easily in need of every member serving in a role on Sunday morning at least once every 4 weeks. At least once every 4 weeks. And if God, by his goodness and grace, gives us 50 more people, the need is going to rise because it takes time for new people to get to the place where they know Jesus and they're following him and they've been baptized and they're ready to serve. And I promise you, I am committed to keeping things simple and to not biting off more than we can chew as a church. But there are just things that are going to need done and that need done now. We just watched a beautiful procession we watch every Sunday morning of these children going. And do you know that whole children's ministry runs by about 3 people right now? The 3 same people every week make that happen so that we can do this. It needs to be a lot more of us so that they can come in here and be fed too, and so that we don't burn out our best. Because my desire is that we're all disciple makers. We're not just organizing and managing events. We need room and we all need space. And so if we all say we're going to do our part, I believe it's going to help a lot. And that's this next point. If you think that point was really heavy, I promise this one's a lot lighter. Number 6, many hands make lighter work. Many hands make lighter work. I know of one of the fears of stepping up and to serve in the ministry is that the church is known for sucking the life out of people who are willing. Too many times someone says, yeah, I'll hold a door once every 4 weeks. 2 weeks later, you're voluntold into being the greeting director, right? I get it. Churches do that. But listen, one way that we can keep from doing that is from all of us doing our part. To obey the command to love one another is that we all get involved in some way in using our gifts so that 10% of the people don't end up doing 90% of the work. So the more people who will say, I'll help, I'll serve, the less heavy the burden that service will become on others. Because you can't be here 1 week? Well, I know 10 other people who do my position. I'll just reach out to one of them. It's not like if I say I'm going to serve that I can't ever go on vacation, right? If we all have it, if we all are involved and we're all acting as a family and loving one another, it doesn't have to be that way. And here's an even lighter principle and one I'm passionate about, number 7, and we're almost done. We all need seasons for rest, recovery, and inactivity. We all need seasons for rest and recovery and inactivity. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything under the sun. Jesus rebuked Martha for being so busy and troubled with the works of service that she did not choose the better thing of just spending time at Jesus' feet, learning from him and communing with him. You know, God set this standard even in the days of creation that he worked and created for six days, and then on the seventh day he rested. And it takes a necessary humility to say, listen, I've got to step back. And I'm not the savior of this role here. Like, sometimes it's like, well, if I step back, who's going to do it? Well, sometimes the best thing to encourage someone to step into a role is to leave the vacuum. And so you just have to be humble and say, listen, in this season, I got to step back. There's a grief, or there's extra things at work, or there's this or that, or I'm just tired, and I need to step back. I need that season. And it takes humility to say, Jesus is the savior of this ministry, not me. So I need to step back for a while. Remember, the gospel is good news about what Jesus has done for us, not all that we can do for him. You know, there's one pastor that has taken this principle really seriously, and what he does is he leads his church to be just as active as any other church 9 months of the year. But then 3 months of the year, all they do is gather on Sunday morning to worship. They cut down the Sunday school, they cut down the ministries, and what it's teaching their people is this rhythm. And especially in our day, we can get so burned out because we don't know any kind of rhythms of work and rest. And so I'm not saying that I'm leading the church to do that. Don't hear me say that. That's not my goal in that. But it's just that if we all were passionate about using our gifts, then we could love one another to give each other seasons like that. So number 8, finally, is your charge. Find your place of service in God's mission through his church. Find your place of service in God's mission through his church. You know, I have this vision of when people walk in to attend our service, that they have someone that's holding the door for them. So we have 2 people, 1 at each door. We have 2 people at our table that new people can be led to. And those people at that table can tell them about what they're getting ready to experience and where their kids are going to go, and to have them fill out a card. But we're going to need a lot more people willing to be a part of the greeting team in order to get that done, in order to show hospitality to our visitors like that. And so in just a few weeks, beginning of October, we're going to have a meeting. Mr. Keith has been leading our greeting team and does a great job of that. We're going to have a meeting with him, and we are going to just give a training for anyone who's interested in saying, yeah, I want to be involved in some way. I'll try being a greeter. Tell me what I need to do. So that's the point of this meeting. We're going to tell you what you need to do. It's a great entry-level kind of service. You don't have to teach or step up in front of people. It's a great way to get to know new faces. And so I just encourage you to come. You're going to hear about that meeting coming up in these next few weeks. Our audiovisual team is currently 3 people. Who do it every single week. And we only have 3 people to ask when there's a funeral or a special event during the week. So if you know that you're interested in that, if you have some skills in that or you're willing to learn, talk to Mr. Randy or the other AV people and see how you can get involved. We would love to have more people who know to do that. You know, a quick story, we had a funeral here not long ago, and none of our AV people could come, and so I did it. And they gave me a quick 5-minute tutorial the night before, and then I came, and the lady who had lost her father had one of those memory sticks, computer sticks, and she gave it to me, and she said, I have been up all night working on all these pictures, and so would you please scroll these pictures before and after the funeral? Well, that's not a time to tell anyone no, right? So even though I have no idea how to do that, I am going with all my might figure out how to do that for this lady, right? So praise the Lord. I stuck it into the computer back there. It did pop up. I had no idea how to make them scroll alone. So for 2.5 hours that day, I tried to count about every 7 seconds and hit the arrow. But it was precious because people sat after and just watched, you know. And one guy even came up to me and said, "Hey, could those scroll a little slower?" "Sure, no problem." You know, and so it's just, so it's good to step into needs, but it's better when you're gifted and you have training and you know what you're doing, right? Our nursery, especially on Sunday and Wednesday nights, the cutest ministry you could be a part of, could certainly use you. You know, those who come to our church who are younger in their faith, it's not all about a position. Sometimes it's just being a mentor, taking them out to lunch and making sure they're connecting and know what it means to follow Jesus. We'd love to go to live worship, but it's going to be hard to ask the same group to do it 52 times a year. So if you have any musical talent, please let us know. We're going to love to get everybody together soon and just keep moving forward in our worship with those who already do a great job. But if you want to be a part, come be a part. So we've all been gifted, and it is a joy to use our gifts to serve the church. Let me just pray for us, and then we'll have our invitation time. Lord God, we